Oh, no, you're fine.
Okay. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. So by God's grace, we'll talk a little bit about parenting tips. Parenting tips for kids in the United States, which happen to be your kids. If Negi, could you go in there and like just throw coffee at people or something? Like scalding hot coffee. Best kind. So I got this list. I was talking with one of the youth, and I asked him, we had a long discussion on a long bike ride, and I asked him, I said, give me 10 things that you think your parents could have done better. He's very articulate. Amen. Just keep talking loudly. Amen. Amen Newman. Talking loudly. And he gave me this list, and so I thought I would share it with you guys because I think it's very useful, especially here in the United States where things are a little different. You know, in Egypt, you know, we got away with the ship a little bit more easily, throwing ships, throwing shoes, things like that. And here that's, you know, they call Child Protective Services, it's ugly. So what I would like to do is suggest a few things that he suggested to me. And I'll just read them off to you because I think they're useful and nice and appropriate. First, most important thing is to give grace. Now, before I start, let me kind of lay the foundation for this, which is, lay the foundation for this, which is basically, as a parent, we are the first image of Christ that our kids see. Okay? Now, that's not meant to put a lot of pressure on you, but it should. Okay? And they learn about who God is from us. I'll tell you, I was talking once with a woman, maybe 28 or something, 29, you know, older, a little older, not a youth. And she was telling me all about the church. And she said, you know, the church does this, this, and this. And the church judges like this. And the church says these things about you. And the church wants you to be like that. And she kept talking about, there's no Rabbon in there. Amen. But feel free to just walk up. That's fine. Tafaddal. Sorry, amen. And so then at some point, I said to her, this doesn't sound like the church. This sounds like your dad. And she just stopped, stared at me and goes, oh my God, you're right. Every time I was talking about what the church does, I was actually just replaying something my dad says. So I don't want to put pressure on you, but that is a lot of pressure, right? You have to model who Christ is. And the simplest answer I give to anyone who asks me for father advice, the easiest answer is do whatever you think the father in the parable of the prodigal son would do. What would that guy do? Think about what he would say and how he would react. And that's really the basic guideline because they're picking up from you who God is. And I'm not talking about being perfect because none of us are perfect. I mean, unless you're an archdeacon, but the rest of us, no. Right? So none of us are perfect. That's not what we're talking about. Right? But what it does mean is offer some of the things that God offers you in the same way. So the first thing is give grace. Try not to respond to mistakes or disobedience with harsh punishment. This will not teach your children to violate and value and understand what you're trying to instill. If you teach them that the parents are something to be avoided, it will teach them that the parents are something to be avoided and the action is something to be hidden. Of course, our immediate reaction when someone kid screws up is, what'd you do that for? What's wrong with you? Are you dumb? And just kind of losing it, okay? Which, you know, I get it. I've lost it 8,000 or 9,000 times, right? But what you do when you do that is the kid's reaction is, okay, I can't really talk to my parents about this, right? And I can't tell you if I had a nickel for every time I had someone say to me, well, you know, I can't tell my dad about this. I can't tell my mom about this. I'm like, why not? And it's not really that bad. They'll just lose their mind. They'll just start screaming. I don't want to deal with that, right? So the piece of advice I'd give you is no matter what, and again, you learn this from the father in this, in the parable of the prodigal son, no matter what your kid says, no matter what they say, you don't lose it. You don't react. Okay? And the motto I like to give is get curious, not furious. Right? So when a kid says something and you're like, what the? You immediately stop and you say, hey, what makes you say that? And why do you think that's a good idea? And where did you hear that? And, oh, what happens if this happens? And right? And you engage with them in wherever they're at. Okay? Now, why is that important? Because that's what Jesus did with us, right? Because we say Jesus condescended from being up here to down here with us. He came down to our level. You can do the same with the kid, right? You can go and meet them where they're at, wherever they're at, right? Wherever they're at, meet them there, right? You want to meet them in the gym, you want to meet them on the basketball court, you want to meet them wherever they happen to be. Go there, find them and talk to them. And don't ever react badly, right? Because all you're doing is you're just teaching them, I can't talk to my dad or mom about this. They just go crazy, right? So my advice, take a deep breath, you know, and I could share some of the stories from my kids, except one of them's in the room, so I'm not going to. But man, she had a zinger once, and I'll tell you about it, you know, over a beer or something, but I can't tell you now. Okay. Another thing this person said is, I didn't learn until well after I turned 20 that lots of clergy and lots of people, including clergy, struggle with their faith. A majority of the saint stories in Sunday school and the cynic sermon are about people who had the strongest faith, and when one struggles with this, they feel that the church is not for them. It's only for the people who figured it out. So when your kid struggles with faith or says, I don't know, you know, Our parents' reaction is, how could you say that? Zay, you know, and they would attack you, right? And they would attack the lack of faith out of you, right? And shame you. How could you say that? Who says something like that? You, I raised you. You're my son. We always go to church. What did I do wrong? And the kid's looking at you like, what on earth is happening, right? I remember once when my, I guess I will tell stories, but my son came up to me and he was like very young, he's eighth grade, and he goes, I don't know if I believe in God anymore because we learned about evolution and evolution explains God. He's eighth grade. And so I was like, oh boy, it's coming early. So I take my deep breath and I go, oh, what'd you hear? And he goes, oh, you know, we learned about, Darwin and we learned about natural selection. I go, oh yeah, natural selection, that makes perfect sense. And that fits with Christianity. There's nothing wrong with natural selection. It makes perfect sense, you know. The bird with the small beak that can't eat dies, and the small, you know, the finch with the big beak lives. No problem there. And he just was stunned because he was waiting for a reaction from me. He wanted me to react, and I didn't give him that. And I just kind of said, oh, what else did you learn in biology class? And we just kind of talked through it. And the thing is, here's the important thing. Could you guys close that door? Thank you. The important thing is, when you feel calm, they sense your calmness. And when you're agitated, they sense your agitation, right? Kids are kind of like dogs, right? They smell fear, right? So if they see you all of a sudden, just very, you know, they kind of think, huh, dad's scared of something. Why is dad scared? Why is mom scared? Why don't they want to talk about this? There must be something to this. But the calmer you are, the more they realize, oh, okay, I can bring this up. This is fine. This is not a taboo topic, right? And I encourage you, no matter what the topic, to make it a not taboo topic. I was recently at another church, and the topic of you know, homosexuality came up. Of course, all the, you know, teenagers, that's all they talk about. And the room just lit up. Everybody went nuts. Everyone started yelling. Everyone's yelling opinions. They start fighting with each other. Everyone's talking. And I was actually stunned by it. I was like, holy moly, right? I mean, I never lost control of a room like that before. And I asked, the servant came up to me and goes, this is why we don't talk about this. Because, you know, everyone's so opinionated here and everyone goes crazy. And so we can't have a discussion. And I said, actually, this is why you should be talking about it more, right? Because of this reaction, it's clear you don't talk about it. So it's all pent up. And when you do talk about it, they all go nuts, right? So make it something you talk about more, calmly. Learn to have a discussion. Learn to define your terms. What are you talking about? What are you saying? Oh, I'm saying this. Oh, I thought you meant that. Oh, no, I didn't. All right, we agree after all, after we were screaming at each other 20 seconds ago. Okay. Dialogue, not debate. Sometimes they will do things you do not like, the kids. You need to be okay with that. Treat them with respect and have a conversation, not a yelling match. Approach them with understanding and vulnerability when the circumstances allow. Often it is best to try to have a conversation after the emotions of incident have died down. It's okay to say, we're all upset. Let's take some time to calm ourselves down and let's talk about this later. I highly advise that. Write it down on a piece of paper so you don't forget it, or put a note on your phone to come back to it when you're calm and they're calm, right? Hopefully you calm down before they do, right? Often teenagers or whoever will rile up and it takes them a while to kind of settle. Wait till they settle, when you realize they're not going anywhere, right? I remember Sam Wasfi gave a great talk here at the adult meeting about relationships. And he said that when a couple fights, I still remember this, that they go into a fight or flight mode, right? Frontal lobe shut down, and you can no longer have a rational discussion, right? I'm sure the same happens when you fight with your kid, right? Especially when your kid is challenging you, right? So this shuts down and you're just reacting, right? And it's kill or be killed, right? And I've got to crush this kid. I got to let him know who's right. I got to let him know that I'm the authority. I got to let him know that, you know, he doesn't have control over me. And that just doesn't work, right? And it's all about playing the long game, right? So everybody focus on the long game, right? Because it's easy to control your kid when they're little. That's a piece of cake, right? You can just beat them, okay? You win. Congratulations. You want them to come to church early? Beat them. They'll come, okay? You want them to sit in the class? Beat them. I'm just kidding, by the way, for those who are going to clip this out and sue me, right? So we can go nuts on the kids, and we can make them do whatever we want until they turn 15, and then they look at you like, you know what, Dad? You can't do that to me anymore, right? I'm a man, okay? So... It's almost like I've heard it a dozen times, right? So, It's a boy turning into a man as his voice changes. It's very nuanced. It's like Brady Bunch. Remember when, I think it was Greg? Anyway, it's not important. Okay, so, no, it's the kid in the middle. Who's the kid in the middle? It's time to change. He sang that song. Peter. Yeah, it cracked as he sang. These are old references, in case you don't know. All right. What are we talking about? So approach them with understanding and vulnerability, especially like even going back to the case of not having faith. It's okay when your son says, I don't know if I believe in God. You say, you know, there's a time I didn't believe in God either. Or there's a time it really bothered me. Or sometimes I even doubt. And that just makes them calm. Like, okay, I'm not alone. Right? That's great. You know, some of the saints talk about times of darkness when they don't know. Mother Teresa talked about times of darkness when she didn't know. Right? So attacking your kid for thinking that just means, okay, I'm never going to talk to my parents about that one. Right? And the kids keep a very good mental list. Right? I bring up sex, they lose their mind. X. I bring up homosexuality, they lose their mind. X. I bring up faith. X. Right? Next, you know, the list of topics I can't talk to my parents about is longer than the list I can talk to them about. Right? So focus on the long game. Dialogue, dialogue, dialogue. Lots of calm, lots of questions. You got to have a drink before it. Do that. Whatever you need to do. I was going to suggest something else, but I am being recorded. So don't do that other thing that I was going to suggest. Okay. When you discuss things, genuinely try to understand. Right? God gave us two ears and one mouth. Listen, listen, listen. And just try to keep listening. And do the best that you can not to speak. Draw it out of them. Make pauses in the conversation. Just sit there quiet. You'd be amazed how many times I just sat there quiet until they started speaking again. And that quiet period felt like infinity, because I had 800 things to say, because I'm right, and I know exactly where they're going, and I know exactly how this conversation ends, and I know exactly what to say, and I didn't, right? I just sat there in this deafening silence until they go, yeah, and you know what else? You gotta wait for those pauses, right? So discuss and try to understand where they're coming from. Don't put on a show pretending to hear them out and then launch into your own thing. Like, oh, okay, I'm listening. I hear what you're saying. So, and then bloom, say what you're going to say. Thank you for sharing that. I hear what you're saying. Next. It's fake and everyone knows it. If you put in the work to understand them, you can better address the issue and be supportive as they're exposed to the world and build who they are as their own person. Next thing, they're not going to be you. Okay? So, here's the thing, all parents, we all do the same thing. We create children in our image and likeness, right? When they're born, they're in our image, right? They have my nose, they have my wife's ears, they have his eyes, whatever, right? And then as we get older, we make them in our likeness, right? So how do we make kids in our likeness? Well, we say, you know what, that isn't okay. When a kid does something wrong, we say, that isn't okay. What does that mean? It actually means that's not something I would do. And then when they do something you like, you say, oh, that's good, I'm glad you did that. What does that mean? That's something I would do. Do what I do, don't do what I don't do. I want you to be me. That's natural, that's what we do. That's what we know, okay? And that's fine, there's basic principles that are very important, but every once in a while, one of your kids is not gonna be identical to you. That's okay, right? God made them that way. Celebrate their difference, right? You know, one kid's very analytical, one kid isn't. If you're analytical, don't shame the kid who isn't. Go, why can't you be like your brother who's very analytical? Because I'm analytical, your mom's analytical, and your brother's analytical, why aren't you analytical? What kind of thing to say is that? They just aren't. They're creative. Get over it, right? They got a different set of genes. There are different ways, you know, there's different compilations of things that you can get genetically, right? So the kids aren't you, and once you cease that endeavor, you're gonna do really well. I'll tell you a story about my cousin. My cousin's son was 2 years old. He's two, okay? And he grabbed something with his left hand. The 2 year old grabbed it with his left hand. So my cousin immediately took it and put it in his right hand. And I said, why'd you do that? And he said, and my cousin is a dentist. And he said, well, because dental tools aren't made for lefties, they're only made for righties. And I said, the kid's two, and you not only decided he's gonna be right-handed, but he's gonna be a right-handed dentist. He just kind of looked at me and snickered and said, you just leave me alone, kid, all right? I was younger. And his son is now a dentist. Okay. He's left-handed. And he did take a very roundabout path to dentistry and fought his dad every step of the way until his dad lost it. But anyway, his dad capitulated, and then finally the son capitulated. Okay. Be a participant in their life, not a dictator. You are the parent, not their master. Whether we like it or not, we cannot control our kids, especially here. And if you think you're in control, like I said in the sermon, you are delusional. Book told me that. And so sometimes we try to control every aspect of our children, okay? And it just doesn't work. And it's very difficult, and this transition happens when your kids get older, right? Because you've gone from a system of, I control when they eat, what they eat, how much they eat, what socks they wear, when they change, when they go to the bathroom, where they sleep, what their sheets look like. I've controlled every aspect of their life up until now. And now you're telling me not to be in control of every aspect of their life. And it's just a weird transition to make as a parent, right? Going from controlling everything to less and less and less and less, right? But what I want to encourage you is to celebrate not controlling. Celebrate internally when they do their own thing. I'll tell you why. Because that's your objective. Your objective is to create an adult who is responsible and independent. You know the dilemma we have in our society now? A bunch of 20-somethings living in their parents' house. Almost 30-somethings. They're all over the place. They are ill-equipped to deal with life. They don't want real responsibility. They don't want to do any work. And they just want mom and dad to keep making everything good for them. Okay? That's a dilemma we have in the United States. All the 20-somethings are living in their parents' garage or in their rooms. They don't even care anymore. Right? So your job is to make that kid as independent as fast as you can, as responsibly as possible. Move towards independence as soon as you can, as quickly as you can. Right? And the sooner they are independent, the sooner you can guide them. Right? Because, you know, imagine you're teaching a kid how to draw, right? If you keep holding their hand and drawing for them, they're not learning how to draw, right? At some point, after you've done this 30 times, now you try, okay? And once they try, you see they hold a pencil like this, and you're like, okay, you didn't learn a thing from me. But you wouldn't have figured that out until you let them do it themselves, right? So now they've got the pencil wrong. Oh, no, hold it like this. Oh, yeah, okay. And then they start drawing, and then you can kind of say, okay, no, watch this line right here, right? And we can start to guide them from a distance, right? Because kids the thing they love to say is what? I want to do, I do, I do. And every time the parent tries to control, they're like, no, I do, right? Let them do. Let them be, right? Move towards independence quickly. And the more independence you give them, the more they want to come back to you. And the more they want to be in the house. And the more they want to love you, and the more they want to listen to you, right? Because there's parents I know out there, they have great advice, and their kids won't listen to a word of it. They block it all out, because there's too much of it. Pick your words carefully. Less is more, right? Say less as often as you can. Wait till they ask you, right? Just wait till they ask you as best as you can. So just remember that they're their own person. It's as simple as that. Try to take their perspective. Even if you think or you know that they are wrong, slow yourself down and think, why might they do this? See it from their eyes. They've come to a conclusion. There's not something wrong with them. Okay? They've come to this conclusion. Why did they come to this conclusion? Follow the logic path with them. Instead of saying, why'd you do that? That's stupid. Right? Instead, which is what I used to say, don't say that. Stop and say, no, why did you? And they're like, well, I needed this. Okay, that's good. And then I need this. Oh, that's good. But then I did this. Oh, okay, well, that's the problem. It's this one right here. Let's just twist that. Now do it again and watch them go right to the correct path. Right? So instead of just condemning, and then they're just trying to shut down like, I'm dumb, I don't know what to do, you've guided them there. Most people do not do things for the cause for the case of causing harm. It's a byproduct of trying to achieve something else. Okay. All right, next thing, and this is very applicable now to us for several reasons. Accept that you cannot fully understand their life, your kid's life. And that's a beautiful thing. Again, the independence is nice. We get to, as parents, right, we get to plant seeds. We get to put in principles, okay? But that's it, right? We don't get to mold them. We don't get to control every part of them. We don't get to know everything they're going to do with their life. And that's okay. Right? Don't try to be the one who's always wants to know everything that's going on. Again, push for that independence. It's a beautiful thing that their life is different than ours. Don't keep condemning it. Like right now, everyone loves. Social media sucks. It's ruined you. You kids these days don't have a brain. You don't have any attention span. You can't memorize a phone number like I did. You can't. And we go on and on all day and just pontificate and tell everyone how great we were and how lousy you are, right? Kid shows up with a TikTok video. hey, Dad, you want to see this funny TikTok video? You know, TikTok is ruining everyone's minds. The Chinese made TikTok to invade our phones. You guys have no attention span, blah, blah, blah. So you don't want to see the funny video, Dad? Look at the funny video. Save the sermon and the speech for another time. Engage with your kid. Go down to his level. He's looking at a funny video, right? Don't go off on the speech, okay? And the reason this is interesting, right, is we have two dials we're turning. Most of us came from immigrant parents. Some of us are immigrants, okay? So the first dial is we have a culture dial, right? America, Egypt, big one, right? Anytime you start a sentence with, you know, in Egypt, what we used to do, right? Here, we snicker. Other churches I give this talk, they're like, yeah. So, sorry, that was inappropriate. So, in Egypt, you know what we used to do? And then you're like, first thing the kid says is what? We're not in Egypt. You know, this is how we do it in Egypt. Okay? Wrong country. Right? So that's the first dial we have to turn. Most of us have to turn that because we were actually raised by Egyptian parents. Second dial, time. So I was born in America. I was raised in America. I grew up in America, American schools, American training, even got an American wife. And I still don't understand American kids. Right? So I have even if I'm totally American, I still have that dial I have to turn. And that's okay. Let them have it. Let them show you TikTok. Let them show you what their world looks like. Be excited by it. Could you guys close the door in the back? Thank you. Be open to the unknown experiment of being a human being. It's a different world. It's very exciting. Go into the world with them. Be excited with them. Don't just condemn it and say, that's not what we did. That's not like what I grew up with. That's bad. Why is it bad? Because it's different from mine. That's close-minded. I know, I'm glad you're laughing, right? But that's what we say. It's just angry, bitter cynicism. The bitter old man who's bald, lost all his hair in his 30s. I'm not upset. Okay. As the parent, you have the responsibility in the relationship, especially when your kids are below 20, right? You're the parent, okay? Kid acts like a dope, he's a kid. You're the adult, right? Suck it up. Kids literally have no idea what's going on sometimes. They don't know why you're upset. They don't know why everything's going bad. They don't know why people are screaming. They have no idea what's happening, right? And you're like, I can't believe you don't know what's happening. Well, you've had a couple decades of life over the kid. Maybe that's why you know and they don't know. And they don't know how to respond or manage a situation. You know, sometimes I'll just watch my kids respond to a situation like, dear God, have you been parented anything? Have you seen me at any point in your life? But they don't know how, right? So you just have to talk them through it. Again, condescend. Go to their level. Drop down. You know, the best advice I ever got was when you talk to your kid, you get on one knee and you look him in the eye. You never talk from the top down. Do that both metaphorically, and metaphorically. Get down on one knee and look him in the eye and say, let's talk through your process, right? And instead of just yelling at them when they mess up, help them not to mess up in the future. And remember how many times it took you to handle a certain situation. We love to think we were just born good at this, right? We're not. Okay. While it is important to treat your kids with respect, remember that you signed up for kids. They did not sign up for you. So it is up to you to look past the inevitable disrespect or disagreement towards the goal. What's the goal? To raise a good and successful person, then find ways to do that without admonishing and criticizing every little thing. I'll add another thing. Sometimes our goal is one thing, but it really isn't that thing, right? Sometimes our goal is, well, I want my kid, you know, I want him to love God and everything. Yeah, but he should have money. He should be well-educated. he should be smart, he should be rich, he should have a big house, I want him to have all the best things. So, which is it? And how are they going to know which is it? How are they going to sift past your words and figure out what you really think and how you really want them to act? Well, the answer is obvious, right? They're just going to watch you, and they're going to figure it out, right? If you want to talk about money all day long and say, now let's all go to church. Go to church, come back. Our sermon sucked. Archie's an idiot. Abuna doesn't know what he's talking about. Criticize. You know, okay, well, you've taught your son, right? They're going to watch you and do what you do. And in fact, nothing you do can alter the outcome. So, you know, some parents will take their kid and say, you know, they'll just throw them at hymn class or something and say, go to hymn class. And then, you know, the parents have a Bible study, but the parent doesn't go to the Bible study. Like, I'm not going to that stuff. I'm going to go to Starbucks, hang out with my friends. So the kid's stuck in hymn class. He comes out of hymn class. He sees the Bible study. He sees mom and dad not there. They walk in with Starbucks and all their friends giggling. And what does the kid think? I know what I'm going to do when I'm 18. I'm going to go to Starbucks with my friends, just like mom and dad, obviously. And the opposite is true. If they see you at the meeting and they see you excited and they see you living a life, a spiritual life, even if you told them, stay home, don't go to church today. I'm going, but you can stay home. No, Dad, I want to go with you. No, stay home. No, Dad, I want to go with you. All right? So we don't teach by words. We teach by example. Right? Kids are very smart. Kids are very smart and very observant, even if you cannot always tell or don't realize. I just made this point. If a parent or anyone says one thing and behaves in a different way, they quickly lose credibility to a developing child. The first way we handle this is be open about your shortcomings. Just say it. Look, I get really angry really fast, and I'm not rational. I get very emotional. So, Habibi, you know, wait for mom or dad just to calm down a little bit, because this is my limitation. Be open and honest with them. Apologize to them, right? Tell them when you've messed up. Tell them that I have things that I'm not perfect about, right? Instead of trying to pretend to be perfect. And tell them we're all striving for this ideal. We're all trying to be great, but we all make mistakes. That's okay. I want you to be tolerant of your parents' mistake. And how are you going to teach your kids to be tolerant of your mistakes? We just talked about this. Be tolerant of theirs, right? If you're tolerant of their mistakes, then they'll be tolerant of yours. If you teach them intolerance, they will become intolerant. Okay. Okay, last thing I want to talk about, there's some other things, but I'll just stop because I think Sunday school's ending, whatever it's called. Whatever the kids are calling it these days. Do not make sin so debilitating. Of course it's wrong, sin, but it's impossible to avoid. We all screw up. Your kids, I'll say it to you now, your kids are going to sin. And some of them will sin in ways you really don't want them to sin. Right? Some of our kids are going to do things that we really, really don't want them to do and never dreamed that they would ever do, especially not my kids. That's going to happen in this room. And so now the question is, how do you handle that debilitating shock to your ego? Right? How do I handle it when the kid messes up? And I'll go back to the prodigal son. Father, how did he handle it? He never even brought it up. Didn't even say a word. In fact, when his son tried to apologize, if you remember, what did the father do? He cut him off, said, don't apologize. Stop. Kill the fatted calf, put the ring on his finger. You know, That's the way we need to handle sin when our kids mess up. They're going to mess up. Some of you may get a call to go to jail and pick up your son or daughter. It won't be pleasant. And at that moment, you throw your arms around them, say, I love you, I will always love you, nothing you can do will stop me from loving you. And there is nothing in that moment more important to that kid. They will never forget that moment. If you walk in to the jail and say, what kind of idiot are you? What's wrong with you? Did I raise you to do this? What if people find, you had the moment. You had the moment to show him who God was, and you blew it because your ego and your emotions and your temper got in the way. Control the temper, control the egos, do whatever you need to do, right? But you had a moment to be like Christ. Don't blow it. Everything is an opportunity to grow. Everything is an opportunity to learn. No mistakes are permanent. Nothing your kid does is permanent. I mean, there's a few things, okay, but fine. But okay, not cutting off a limb, okay, I'll give it to you, right? But other than that, there's a few biggies. Prevent the limb cutting, okay? Sorry, I'm just talking a little too. But very few things, very few mistakes, very few, the 99 percentile of the mistakes your kids are going to make are permanent, right? Just think about that, right? What is permanent is the memory of how you reacted. That's permanent, right? We can all remember a moment when our parents just lost it, right? And we don't get to get those back. Those are etched in. Those are permanent, right? And then you take them with you when you go to therapy in 20 years. And then everyone's talking about their mom and what she did to us and my dad and what he did to us, okay? So no matter what it is, it can probably be fixed. It's probably okay, right? Take a breath, take a beat, relax, and work through the problem, right? Let's figure out what to do. How do we handle this? What can I do for you, right? And when you tell the kid, that was wrong, kid does something, and he ends up in county jail for the night, and you show up, you go, you know that's wrong. Like, I know that's wrong. You know, why'd you do that? That's not okay. I know it's not okay. Duh. Right? When someone shares with you, I have this kind of problem or this kind of issue, telling them it's wrong is obvious. Right? That's not what I need to hear. I already knew that. Did anybody have any questions or comments? I'll just end now. I see my daughter laughing in the back. She's like, he didn't do any of these things. Remember how much I paid you, Anna? Remember what we agreed on? Anybody have any questions? Yes, Peter.
Just a fun fact. You started talking about the frontal lobe. When you kind of come offline, as adults and especially as kids. But the frontal lobe isn't even fully developed until about 25 years old.
Yeah.
Just a fun fact.
So you have a not fully functional frontal lobe that is less functional, is what you're saying when you're in an anger argument. And then you're trying to argue with that kid. You, the adult. That's what's that old adage, if you argue with a toddler or something, it's like, I forgot what it is. But any other questions or comments?
I used to have my kids, like, they come and say stuff, and it really, I remember when you're saying it, I wanted to shout, scream, or do something, but I kind of used the thing, I'm busy at work right now, let me get back to you later, until I kind of know what I'm going to talk about, or how are we going to get into this situation, mm-hmm. Because sometimes even if we try to talk to them right away, you don't have all the facts, especially they look at you, and they're waiting to see your reaction to them right away. And sometimes they say, I can't read you. Are you upset? Are you happy? I was like, I'm busy. Mm. I need to finish my work. And then we'll talk later when I have time because I need to focus with you. So
yeah, that's a great coping mechanism. I'm busy right now. And another good thing about texting, right, as long as you don't put the read only, you know, the read thing on, read, is you can see the text, throw your phone against the wall, and then just wait half an hour, right? Which is nice. So texting is a great way because it gives you, like, don't fire the text back. Don't, you know, just, and I would add one more thing. You know, say a quick prayer, right? And that just sort of, I think, puts you in a mindset, a bigger mindset, right? It gives you perspective a little bit. And just, it centers you just enough so that you can stay calm. And of course, we're all battling uphill, right? Because, you know, in general, the Egyptian approach to parenting is screaming, right? And that's how we all grew up. So it's difficult to break that, but it's necessary to break that, especially in America, because it really doesn't work here. It's really not the right approach.
It's also ironic when we don't give them the attention, we demand it when we need the attention at that moment.
Mm.
So it becomes like we become hypocrites in that regard.
That makes sense.
This may not apply to everyone, but one thing that helps me is that when I think of how I was when I was their age, I'm like, they're not that bad. I'm like, you know, I'm like, I was not perfect. So that's helpful.
I mean, actually, I'll take it a step further. Every once in a while, I'll hear some of this stuff, and I'm like, is that all you guys do? Like, you guys are pathetic. I got in way more trouble. Stuff I did do way worse than this stuff. You know, their whole thing is like, you know, I didn't study for my SAT this week. Ha, ha, ha. You're like, okay. You rebel. Any other questions, comments, thoughts, criticisms? Okay. I think all the kids are here. Glory be to God forever. Amen. Let's stand up and pray very quickly. Make us worthy to say with all thanksgiving, our Father who art in heaven.